First Corinthians, we have this week, and then we have next week, and then we're done. And then we're starting the series on friendship, and I've talked about that a little bit. We're going to be talking about being a good friend, being a healthy friend, being a biblical friend, and so we're going to talk about some of those things. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to open us in a brief word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that as we spend time in your word, that it's helpful for us, that it sharpens us, that it helps us to know you better. I'm just thankful again for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this message this morning, it's kind of a little bit different because of the fact that it's a very forward-looking message. It's kind of like one of those messages or one of those passages in the scripture where we look and we say, oh, that's going to be nice. But it does have some impact on our day-to-day life. It should, because it should help us to think about what is truly important. When I was a kid, I don't know if any of you watched this show, $6 Million Man. Anybody watch this? Where's the slide? There we go. You remember that? I watched it in syndication. It came out in like 1974, which was the year I was born, and ran to about 1978. After that, they put it in syndication, and I watched a lot of TV shows in syndication. And I watched this $6 Million Man. And if you're not familiar with what the $6 Million Man was, then you are truly missing out. He was a NASA astronaut. His name was Steve Austin, and he was severely injured in a crash on an experimental aircraft. When he was injured, NASA decided they were going to rebuild him, and it cost $6 million. By today's dollars, it would be a $34 million man, okay? But what they did was they gave him bionic parts, okay? They gave him a bionic right arm, both legs, a left eye, had bionic powers, which gave him 20 times zoom and infrared powers, okay? He was able to run 60 miles an hour, and his right arm was as strong as a bulldozer, okay? Obviously, you can see why, as a 4 or 5 or 6 year old boy, I was very interested in this show, okay? Because as a kid, you wanted to have super strength and power. You wanted that, right? And then I realized this. The funny thing is I still want to have that, okay? And I believe that you do too, okay? I think we all want to be stronger, faster, better, more powerful. And you know what? The truth be told is, in our culture, there are tons of products and programs that are designed to do that, right? That are sold to us to do that. So, you know, you'll hear things like get healthy and get fit and lose weight in 30 days, right? Buy this cream and rub it on your face and you'll look 20 years younger, right? Eat this special organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, low in fat, high in fatty acids diet and you'll look younger, feel better, be healthier, lose weight, all those things. Rub this essential oil on the bottom of your feet and you'll grow 6 inches. I made that one up, okay? Hey, you can only hope, right? So I will say this, that we are called to be good stewards of everything God has blessed us with. Would you agree with that? We're called to be good stewards of everything that God has blessed us with, and that includes our body. We're called to be good stewards of our body. So I'm not saying, by any means, I'm not saying that we should not take care of ourselves. I personally think it's very important to take care of ourselves, but the truth is, because of the sin and death order that we're under, here's what's going to happen. Our bodies will age and they will deteriorate. And listen to this. I will say this. In many senses, we're kind of fighting an uphill battle here, aren't we? Would you agree with that? And as you get older, you start to agree with that. Trying to stay fit, stay healthy, stay young, stay all these good things becomes, as the scriptures actually say, a vain pursuit, because beauty is fleeting. Like, we're just getting older, we're deteriorating, we're under this sin and death order. But why do we all feel the way, that way of, I want to be better, younger, faster, stronger, whatever? Why do we feel that? Well, I think it's part of the deep yearning of our soul. I think it's part of the deep yearning of our soul. And in Romans chapter 8, it actually talks about how all of creation yearns to be made new. All of creation, that includes us, yearns to be made new. And guess what? The good news is that we will eventually be freed from this sin and death order, from this curse that we are under. And interestingly enough, we'll experience this freedom in eternity in our new glorified bodies. Now, last week, I talked about that a little bit. We started because 1 Corinthians 15, the question that they were obviously dealing with, that Paul was dealing with, was, did Christ rise from the dead? And he talked about, yes, he did. Over 500 people saw him, all that. Then the other question was, in the Corinthian culture, apparently they did not believe that there was a second life or a resurrection. So we talked about how, last week we talked about how when we get to the new heaven and new earth, remember that on our end times timeline, that we will actually receive a new glorified, resurrected body. So today we're going to finish off 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in verses 35 through 58, we're going to learn three things about this glorified, resurrected body that God's going to issue us one day in his new heavens and new earth. So the first thing is this: our resurrected bodies are made for the heavenly environment. Let's look at verses 35 through 41. 35 through 41 says this: "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory." So now what Paul does is he's saying, okay, so this question you guys have about, you know, how can the body be resurrected, or is there a resurrection? These questions, he's saying it's foolishness to think that there's no resurrection of the body. That's what he's saying. It's foolishness to think that. They ask, well, how in the world can this happen? And the answer is that, you know what? We can't fully understand the miraculous things that God is capable of. I mean, think about it this way. We can't fully understand that the first man, Adam, was made out of dust. Can you understand that? Okay, God made a mud pie and made a human being out of it. How can we possibly fully understand that? But what we can understand is this: that God is able to do those things. So what he's saying to them is, listen, your reasoning here, like, how could God do this? It's kind of impossible. Or last week, remember I said, some people are buried, some people are burned, some people are eaten by sharks, some people are, you know, die in tragic accidents. How in the world can God bring all those molecules back together and raise them up into the same person? Well, the truth be told is this, that it's foolishness to even ask questions like that. God has a glorified body, and guess what? He's making that glorified body for a specific place. Because in verse 37 and 38, he uses the analogy of this seed and the kernel. Or in other words, if a fruit or vegetable is planted, it takes what? A seed. Okay? Does that seed look exactly like the fruit that it will bear? No. So he's saying, listen, our soul, our spirit is the seed. Who we are now is the seed of what is eventually going to come. It takes that seed to start. It doesn't look exactly like that fruit, but what's going to happen is it takes that seed. You're the seed in a sense. So then Paul moves on verses 39 through 40 to tell them there's different flesh for different environments. Think about this. He says he uses a different flesh for animals, and for fish, and for our earthly bodies, and for our heavenly bodies. So now what he's saying is, you know, do we have the same skin as fish have? Okay, the fish's skin is the fish's skin is designed to swim underwater, designed to not be as sensitive to the temperatures of the water and all those different things. So he's saying, now listen to this, just like in our new heavenly environment, will not have the same skin, or so to speak, there will be something about us that connects us to our earthly self, but our earthly self is the seed, and the new self is going to be designed for this new environment called the new heavens and new earth. So in verse 41, just as the sun, the moon, and the stars all have different glory, our glorified bodies will be different. There's going to be something different about it. And what's really, truly going to be different about it is the fact that it's going to be glorified and perfect and made for that environment. So if our bodies were the same, think about it this way. If they're the same as they were on this earth, there would be problems, right? There would be big problems because we know that the body here on earth is deteriorating, is decaying. You know, the things that we deal with here are attractiveness, weight, tall, short, all those things. Other issues that we deal with are pain, injury, aging. Our resurrected bodies are going to be made for that perfect environment that will live in that perfect environment. The imperfect cannot exist in the perfect, is what Paul is trying to tell them. He's saying, so it's foolishness to try to wrap your human brain around all the things that God is going to do. So then it brings us to the next thing that Paul teaches about our resurrected body, and that's this. We're restored to the image of Jesus. We're restored to the image of Jesus. See, one of the consequences, and this has a lot of theological implications, but one of the consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve is it marred us as image bearers of God. I believe the scriptures teach us this. Adam and Eve were created, male and female, in God's image. When they sinned, something about that image was marred. And basically, what about that image was marred is we inherited a sin nature and death came into this world. So now, all of a sudden, we're under this image, so to speak. We're still made in God's image. The animals are not, and know this, and this is important in our culture. Humans are the only ones that are made in God's image. Okay? Everything that God created, he created good. He loves. It's God's creation. But humans are the only ones that are in God's image. But that image is marred because of sin. So now what Paul does is he talks about the changes that will happen from the old, from our earthly bodies to our new heavenly glorified bodies. I want you to look at verse 42. He says it this way. He says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. So the first change is this. There's four changes. The first is perishable to imperishable. Our present bodies are perishable and they deteriorate as we age. Just like Adam, we're headed back to the dust. In the resurrection, however, we will be raised imperishable, never to deteriorate, never to die again. In heaven, no one will comment on your age. No one will notice that years have been bad to you. No one's going to notice that. No one's going to say, like, man, you look pretty banged up now, okay? No one's going to say stuff like that. It's just not going to happen. Because the day that you're issued that glorified body, you will look the same for a billion, however long eternity is. You'll look the same. No one's going to say anything. Now, this, if you're thinking about this, because I'm kind of intrigued about this, God transforms our perishable body into an indestructible or imperishable body. And once you receive it, dying is actually impossible. You will live in that body for eternity. And now, if your mind's going the same place as mine, you're just like, what? I can't even comprehend that. Can you comprehend that? And then you think, well, how old will I look? Will it be 25? Because I look 25. Will it be 30? Like, how old will it be? Will I be 10? That'd be weird. You start to think about these things. But the Bible doesn't say. I mean, the best prototype we have is Adam and Eve. The best prototype we have is Adam and Eve and the resurrected Christ. And Jesus was 33 when he was crucified, so maybe he's 33. So all you 33-year-olds, look around, say, woo! No. But the truth is this, perishable to imperishable. The change number two is this, dishonor to glory. Verse 43, he says this, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. So dishonor and glory, there's a sense in which our bodies are dishonorable due to our sin nature. But God promises that we will be raised in glory. Think about this. When you believe in the gospel of Jesus, when you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for your sins, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and the scriptures tell us that all who believe will have eternal life, a few things happen, right? You're forgiven of your sin, correct? You no longer pay the eternal consequences of sin. You receive the Holy Spirit. But the truth is do we still sin? Yeah, we still sin. We're forgiven of that sin, but we will still sin. Does our body deteriorate? Yeah. Does our body age? Yeah. So here's what's happening. We go from dishonor to glory in the new heavens and the new earth. See, we're still under the curse of sin and we're waiting to be delivered fully from that. But the truth of the scriptures tells us our eternal position will be glory. Our eternal position will be glory. So we're still going to deal with all the effects that the sin and death order have on this world. Now, the next change is weakness to power. Let's look at 43, the second part. He says, it is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. Have you ever noticed this? Most people want to live long, but no one wants to grow old. Have you ever noticed that? Most people want to live long and want a long life, but I don't want to grow old. Have you ever heard the five B's of old age? Have you ever heard this? You might have heard this before. Baldness, bifocals, bridges, bulges, and bunions. Have you ever heard that? Okay. These are things that are going to happen, okay? These are things that are going to happen as we age. Weakness to power is what's going to happen in glory. Right now, we're weak. Sooner or later, we grow old. Our body begins to break down. We become weak. We start to say things like, I can't do that anymore. You know, I didn't understand that when I was in my 20s. When I met somebody that was older and they said, oh, I can't do that anymore. I'd be like, what's wrong with you? You know, just do it. Like, you know, you're thinking as like a 20-year-old. Just probably 2 or 3 months ago, my boys were skateboarding. They wanted me to take them to the Weirton skate park. So I went there and I have my skateboard, you know. I grew up skateboarding. I love skateboarding. And I skated, you know, into my 30s. And I haven't really touched the boards that much. And we went into the skate park and there was a bunch of kids doing their thing. And my kids were over there. And I went on the mini ramp. That's the ramp that goes like this. And anybody who skateboards knows this. I did 5 kick turns in a row. All a kick turn is you go up the ramp and just turn and come down and turn. It's not a trick, okay? It's like a functional move. I did 5 in a row. I got off the ramp and I was dizzy. I was like, what the heck is going on here? I walked back to the van. Amy's reading a book in the van. She was like, what's wrong? I was like, 42-year-olds have no business skateboarding, okay? I never thought I would see the day that I said something like that. Never. And will I go on a skateboard now? Yeah, maybe to skate down the road, but skate parks? No. I wish I could. I want to. But guess what? I'm getting weak, okay? I'm getting weak. And that's what the scripture tells us will happen to us. We'll get weaker and weaker and weaker. Man, Sunday's a great day, isn't it? But here's the truth. It's weakness to power. Power. That's what God says he's going to do with our glorified body. You know, when I think of that $6 million man, if you YouTube $6 million man, if you never saw it, you're going to be like, dude, that's the cheesiest show in the world because the graphics were terrible and everything. But here's the thing. I look back and I say, when I was a kid, I wanted to be powerful like that. I wanted to be, and now as an adult, and in our culture, we see that, right? We see that. What movie came out this past week that everybody wants to see? Spider-Man, right? Power, yeah, awesome. That's what you want in life. You want that power. We yearn for power. We yearn to be strong and all those different things. But the Lord tells us that one day we'll be in that seat. We'll be in that heavenly place with that glorified body that is no longer weak, that doesn't have to worry about fighting off disease because we'll be powerful and we'll be in a perfect environment that there's no sin, death, order. But the final change he talks about is natural to spiritual. Let's look at verse 44. He says this, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So now when Paul states that our resurrected bodies are spiritual, he doesn't mean it's like a ghost. He doesn't mean it's like a spirit that flies around, floats around in clouds, like I said last week. This refers to the type of body that we will have. When the disciples saw Jesus after he was resurrected, what did they say? A couple of them thought they saw a ghost. Jesus assured them, and he said this, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. That's in Luke 24:39. Jesus did not become a spirit, but was raised with a spiritual body. In heaven, we will not be spirits, but we will have spiritual bodies. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, he didn't have two bodies, a spiritual and natural. He had one, a natural body that had been transformed into a spiritual body. Jesus showed his disciples the marks of nails on his hands and the wounds that he had. So the body had undergone some kind of spiritually radical change. Similarly, we will experience that as well. That's what Paul's teaching them. He's saying, hey, listen, this is going to happen to you too. You're going to be made for that new heaven and new earth. Now, when I say that, new heaven and new earth, what do you think of? Like, I can see the new earth thing, but the new heaven thing, does that raise any questions in your mind? I mean, for me, it does. When I first heard that new heaven, like, what, the old heaven's not good enough? Like, what's going on here, God? But now when you think about the old heaven, do you remember where Satan as Lucifer lived? Remember? He was the perfect angel, right, that was filled with pride in heaven, right, that old heaven. So God is going to wipe away all hint of sin and rebellion and death and decay. He's going to wipe all that away and make all things new. And guess what? I have a spot there, and so do you through Christ. And not only do we have a spot there, we're not going to have to deal with this sin-death order. We're going to be in these perfect glorified bodies. So then he moves on in verse 45 through 49. Let's look at that. He says, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was formed from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Now, here's what Paul does. He reminds them again how Adam and how we bear his image, that human image, which was initially the image of God, but now marred by sin. But in our glorified, resurrected bodies, we are the perfect image that God intended us to be. We will be restored into the image of God, into the image of Christ, fully perfected in his image. So we'll be in the image of Jesus in our heavenly environment, but the final thing about our glorified, resurrected bodies is that they are built to last. They're built to last, and that's the truth. They're built for eternity. In verse 50, it says this. Verse 50 says, I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So Paul clears up and reminds them, listen, your questions... I mean, he says it's foolishness. Your questions that revolve around the physical body that you know what? Don't even worry about that. The perishable is not going to inherit. Like, don't worry about, you know, what's going on with your body now, because it's not going to be that exact identical body then. So you'll have a new body. Then in verse 51, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Remember last week on our end times timeline? What are we waiting for right now? Does anybody remember? We're waiting for the rapture, okay? He's saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to tell you a mystery. This is something that is actually going to blow your mind, basically, as Paul's saying. Some of us will not have to experience physical death. And now Paul was writing this 2,000 years ago. The believers 2,000 years ago said, okay, we're waiting for that day. Guess what day I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for that day, just like that day you should be waiting for that day. Hey, listen, I joke about this all the time, but I am dead serious. This is the way I want to go, okay? I want Jesus to take me home this way. I don't want to have to grow old and physically die. I just don't. I want Jesus to say, okay, trumpet, let's go. You and all your friends, let's go. Come on. That's the mystery. The mystery that Paul is saying is like, okay, some will not even have to experience physical death, but they will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And that's the rapture. And, you know, we can do a whole sermon on the rapture. Actually, in fact, I have. You can go on our website and look it up. So then in verse 53 through 57, see what he does. He says, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. It's a prophetic saying. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul is doing. He's saying the order, the sin-death order will be changed. The sin-death order, it's got sting, right? It's got victory. I mean, I'll tell you this. One of the worst things that I have to do as a pastor is speak at funerals. Okay, yeah, I'm speaking to the living. I'm talking to people about the gospel message and stuff. But I don't look forward to having to walk in and say, okay, there's another one that lost. There's no victory, so to speak, in physical life and death. And I talk to people around the gamut. I mean, everybody says all different things at a funeral. But the thing is, everybody feels kind of the same way. Everybody's kind of like, man, like, I don't like this. Even when it's someone we know is in glory, we still say, oh, it stings, it hurts. I have a hard time dealing with this. Well, the reason why is this is what Paul's saying. He's like, it's the sting. You know, but then he's saying, oh, it's all going to be new. You know, in the new heavens and new earth, one person that's going to be out of business is the guy who runs the funeral home, okay? It's not going to exist. It's not going to be there. There's no victory in death. There's no victory in death, but he takes victory over death. There's no more sting. We don't have to deal with all the things that we're dealing with here. So, knowing this, then you're probably thinking to yourself, okay, that's well and good, okay? But that's the future. What about now? Well, Paul deals with that. He deals with what about now? And here's what he says in verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So he concludes with an encouragement. He's saying, this is what the Christian should be focused on. I mean, think about it. This is what we should be focused on. You'll leave this place today and everything's going to be pulling you away, right? You know, whether it's social media, the media, your money, your career, your family, your friendships, whatever it is, what you're going to do, whatever it is going to be pulling and grabbing for your attention 24 hours a day, every waking moment. But what Paul says is, no, you know what? As believers, we need to focus our attention on that new heaven and new earth and your new glorified body. But in view of that, you need to continue to be steadfast and work for the Lord. The purpose of your life is to continue to work for him. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. We know that. But Paul's encouraging them, saying, be steadfast. In this life, make it count. Make it have purpose. Work for the Lord. Continue to do what he desires you to do. Know this as well. Your labor is not in vain. He's going to reward you for those works in the new heavens and the new earth. And we could talk about that another time. But the truth of the matter is what he's saying is, as believers, it's good to look forward to this stuff. But don't let it stop you from doing what you need to do while you're here on this earth in view of the Lord. See, as believers, when we live this life, and things break down, things decay, sin ensues, death comes, and age takes us, or whatever it is. It is very tempting to be discouraged, isn't it? It's very tempting to be disheartening. But what Paul's saying is, you know what? You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You know, I think about this a lot. These people that Paul wrote to, they've been physically gone from this earth for a really, really long time. Wouldn't you agree? Paul thought it was so important for those people at that time to hear this specific message. Why? Because he knows that those people at that time will not only hear it and receive it, but they're going to be basking in it for eternity. So one day we'll receive our resurrected bodies, but until that day, keep your focus on the things of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for each person that's here. I just pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, that we wouldn't get off focus, that we would pay close attention to the fact that you'll make all things new. When we're dealing and interacting with other people that are discouraged and disheartened and just looking at this world and wondering where you are and where you fit in, Lord, help us to be equipped to know, to bring this truth to them, that we're under the sin-death order, but you're the good, loving God that's going to make all things new. So we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.